So I'm at the tail end of a crazy, crazy week this week. you could say one of the worst weeks, but also one of the best weeks, and I'll explain why. And I've only got about 15 minutes for a very good reason, because I'm going to be at the dentist getting a root canal in about half an hour. And so the week started off, and this is weird, right? The week started off in a way to where I had a fever, had sore throat, and then all of a sudden started to get shooting pain in my mouth, the left side of my head, throbbing for days, shooting pain every now and then, started to get this rash on my body. I thought it was all connected. Long story short, this week I got three separate things at the same time. A fever and sore throat that my younger son had. And then I got in some poison oak over the weekend. I didn't even realize it, and that sprung up, so that's nailing me right now. It seems to happen every year. I never learned, but it seems to happen every year. And then next is my one and only cavity I've ever gotten in my life sprung up at the same darn time I had the fevers, 102-degree fever. The cavity was springing up, and I'm going in to get a root canal right now because I haven't been able to barely stand just normal day-to-day stuff, the throbbing, the aching, things like that. So a couple things I learned this week, and I also want to wrap up with another unrelated lesson I've just been thinking about that I got a lot of really good feedback from on a Facebook Live I did the other day. But a lesson I had this week is oftentimes we get so wrapped up into other people's agendas. We get so wrapped up into thinking that we have to be there for other people. We get so wrapped up in the fact to think we have to be on this meeting and that meeting, that they need us to answer this. And I know that's something I really, really love, serving my team. I really love being there for my team. And on my journey to become a better leader, that's something I've struggled with, is where do you draw the line of, where do you draw the line between being there to serve your team and answer their questions and guide them versus getting out of their way so they can figure out the things themselves. You know, if you've hired great people, they should be able to figure those things out themselves and let them fail a little bit. So, you know, those are some of the best ways they can learn. And so as I was getting these fevers and the toothaches and the rash and the whole thing, I canceled all my meetings Tuesday and Wednesday. And usually I have meetings with my team so I can help unblock them and help answer their questions, and we can dive through some things. And what I was realizing was, I messaged Alex on my team. I'm like, man, I just realized I'm on way too many meetings. I'm not sure how this happened. And I don't know if you guys have ever, can you ever relate to this where you just feel like you get down at the end of the week and like you're walking in mud. You're going, man, I did a lot of work and I'm wore out. It was a lot of energy draining work instead of energy giving work. I'm wore out, but I'm not sure why. And for me, it was because I had all these darn meetings scheduled. And so what we're doing now moving forward is we're yanking me out of most of those meetings. And this week, what I did, I want you guys to do the same thing. This week, what I did was I said, okay, rather than doing these meetings, I'm just going to work on those most important items I should be working on. Okay. And if anything is an emergency, it'll pop up and they'll bring it to me, or I trust them to make the right decision. And if they don't, there's not too many decisions in this business that would kill the business. Those ones would have to come through me anyway. And so I started to work on the important things. I started to go through my to-do list of things I've been putting off for weeks, and working through this big project and working through doing this process and things like that. And what I really ended up doing a lot this week, because my tooth hurt and it still hurts right now, but I'm kind of in between throbbing sessions so I can do this podcast. Basically what I learned was, I'm like, man, I can get a lot more momentum. I can be a better leader if I just pull back and go, okay, let me write down a list of all the meetings I'm in and all the things that my team keeps coming me to for. And let me write those down, and let me go, okay, what processes do I need to start to create? And I was in a massive process creation mode probably a year and a half to 2 years ago when I had to go through that first wave of getting things off my lap. And then I think I reaccumulated things. And it's easy in life to reaccumulate things after you clean it up. Just imagine going through and cleaning out your closet. You know, you clean it out and you feel all great about it, but then you reaccumulate and it makes a mess again. You've got to do it again in a month or 6 months or a year or whatever your closet cleaning cadence is. We reaccumulate tasks. We reaccumulate commitments the same way. And so we need to go through and do those cleanouts. And one of the best ways to do those cleanouts is, number one, determine what you can just throw away. Just like if you're cleaning out your garage, what can be thrown away? Number two, what can I, you know, hand off to someone else? So that's like taking stuff to Goodwill maybe, right? What can I hand off to someone else and just have them be responsible for it? And then number three is, in order for them to be responsible for this, what do I have to give them in order to ensure that they're going to be successful? Not hope that they can do it, but ensure that they're going to be successful. And that's the system. So me and Alex and my team went through, and we have a lot of clutter in our systems and processes right now. So we're going through as we speak to create what we're calling a program playbook, where it's just a better organized way for our team to really know exactly how and where to get things done. And one thing that I've learned from a mentor of mine is you can't just create systems and have the system be there and everyone know it's there, but they don't use it on the day-to-day. And what happens oftentimes with your team members is they'll use the system once. They'll use the system once, maybe twice. They think that they know it, and then they stop using it because they think they know it, and then mistakes pop up. And the problem when someone doesn't actually use the system every time or the process is you can't innovate anymore because they're not using the same exact steps every time. They might skip step B this time and then skip step C next time. And there's a little mistake here, a little mistake there, nothing big enough to pop up to alarm anybody. But you can't continually improve a system that isn't used every time. So that's something that my mentor told me. He said, if you have a system for something, it has to be required that your team members have the system pulled up and that they're using it while they're doing that task 100% of the time. And he also looks at the systems every single week in Google Drive and looks at their edit date. You know, when were these documents edited last? And if these documents were not edited in the last 2 weeks, then what he does is he hits them up and says, hey, are we still using this system? Because he said a good system should be monitored and edited probably on a weekly basis. Otherwise, you're probably not using it correctly. You know, so what are you doing with your systems? Are you creating systems just to have up there and they're not being really used much? Or are you creating systems to be continually improved and continually innovated on? That's one thing that we need to do a lot better as our company, but also I challenge you guys to do too, is if you really want freedom, if you really want to be unleashed in your business, are you creating systems that the other people use that they know 100% of the time that they have to use? And then number two, are those systems being improved on and innovated on by your team members, and are they expected to do so? I think that's the thing that I haven't done is I haven't been expecting my team members to innovate on this stuff. I've just expected them to use it. So what happens is they're stagnant in the system, and they also aren't empowered to be an innovator. And that's something that everyone wants to be, is really work and improve things. So work on your systems. Another thing around systems that I'm going to toss at you too is systems are what truly set you free as the entrepreneur, those processes. I know you've heard it before. It's not the first time, probably not the 100th time. But right now in my role, you have 20 some odd employees. It can get hard to get your work done. It can get hard to get the best work, your best work done. And where I am right now is I feel like I'm always serving everyone else to get theirs done, but I'm not able to get mine done. And I started looking at it with Alex. I'm like, man, it's the systems. It's most of my work that is not going into my unique ability is because they have to bring me on to fix strategy on a project. And I love strategy, but what drains me is going back and looking at something that someone had already done and having to have the discussion with them that the strategy is off, that all that work that they had done, good job, but the strategy was wrong on it and you need to go back and redo this. And so rather than having those conversations anymore, you know, what we're doing is we're going, okay, let me create my systems around how I do strategy. And you guys are going to be seeing a lot of this stuff to trickle out to you guys' user base on how do I think, how do I do strategy, things like that. All right, it's going to be fun. So what I want to wrap up this podcast with before I get to the dentist is this. On a podcast I did the other day with my friend DJ Thielen, one thing that popped up again was a concept I called flipping your risk profile. And I talk about this on my 8 Success Steps podcast that is one of my most popular carrot casts out there, my 8 life success steps that walks through every single big decision I had to make in my life that has helped me be successful. And I think they're pretty darn universal steps. They're ones that I believe pretty much every entrepreneur is going to have to make these decisions along the way. And you're probably going to run into these ceilings. You're probably going to run into these problems. So look at our archive and find these 8 success steps, okay? But one of the first ones, I think it's number 2 or number 3, is flipping your risk profile. And why that's so important is so many people get paralyzed when they're trying to make decisions, when they're trying to do, when they're trying to really better themselves. They might have goals that they want to go after, but then they keep on stalling themselves. They keep on sabotaging their own success. And I've done that. I'm sure you've done that as well. And it's no fun to sabotage your success, because what happens is we do that, but then many people, we end up blaming it on outside sources. You know, we end up blaming it on the training, or there was a bad coach, or oh, I don't have the time, or I have kids and a family, and how am I going to find the time? Whatever it is, right? We sabotage ourselves. And oftentimes it's because we're scared. It's, you know, we're scared. There's a risk. And for some reason, we're not able to get over that risk. And what's worked for me is, I challenge you guys to do the same thing, is when you can flip your risk profile, so that thing that you need to do in order to be successful to get to the next step, that thing is actually the least risky thing. When that thing that you need to do is actually the least risky option, and the option of not doing it is actually more risky, then you kind of like trip your internal risk barometer. You like short circuit that risk barometer and guide it in your favor. And here's what I mean. Okay. So let's say that you're looking at, you know, stepping out there and leaving your full-time job and doing that. Okay. Let's say you're going to do that. What you're probably thinking is, oh my gosh, so what happens if this stuff doesn't work? I'm leaving a comfortable job and leaving an income that's already there, all this stuff. What if I dive in and I just discover I don't like it? Or what if all these gurus or all this training or the carrot software or whatever just actually doesn't do what it says it's going to do? What if I'm not cut out for it? What if you have a bad money mindset and that money mindset just trips you up every time? What I like to do is this, and this is what flipping your risk profile means to me, is I look at that activity that I know I need to do in order to have success. So in this case, it might be leaving your job or actually jumping into Carrot or actually digging in and carving out a real budget for marketing that's based on math, not emotion. Okay, whatever that is. I'd look at that and I go, okay, let me figure out the worst case scenario. And it's pretty easy to work out the worst case scenario. Okay, so worst case scenario for me when I was up in Portland, Oregon, right out of college, and I didn't get a job that first year, I said, okay, I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to try to figure out this entrepreneur thing. The worst case scenario was that it didn't work, right? That I wasn't able to figure out this entrepreneur thing, that I wouldn't be able to pay my bills. I would have to probably get evicted from my apartment building, probably have a bunch of credit card debt. And I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much the worst case scenario if I didn't figure out the entrepreneur thing at that time. And so you start to look at that and go, okay, does it suck to get evicted out of an apartment building? Heck yeah, it would. Okay, so I'd have to figure out somewhere to live. But I have friends up there. I had an uncle up there. My family lives down in Southern Oregon. So worst case scenario is I guarantee someone would be there and step up to let us live there for a couple weeks or a month until we figured it out. Okay, that's the worst case scenario. And I'm fortunate that we have the ability to have family and friends that would do that. Okay, so number two is, you know, with the debt. Okay, worst case scenario there, I rack up, let's say, 20 or 30 grand in debt, and I don't have the income to pay it back. And then it starts to hit my credit. So I'm like, okay, so worst case scenario is I can't get a loan. I can't get a house for a little while until I get the credit back up. I've got to figure out a way to pay that back. So either way, I'd have to go back and get income, and then I just go get a job, right? So that's worst case scenario. Okay. So at the end of the day, that's not as bad as it seems. That's not as bad as it seems. That's not a bad scenario. I could probably get back on my feet within a year and get a job and reverse all that within another 12 months, right? So now let me flip it around. That's worst case. Not as bad as we thought it was going to be. Okay. Look at the other side of it now. What is the dream? What's the benefit? What is the thing you want out of that change, out of going to be a real estate investor, a real estate agent, or an entrepreneur? Or what is it that you want? What are the benefits? Is there an income potential benefit you're looking for? Is there a lifestyle benefit you're looking for? Is there just satisfaction that you're doing your best benefit that you're looking for? What are all those benefits that you feel doing that thing will provide if and when you're successful? Write those down. Now, this is where you're flipping your risk profile. If you don't take the chance, you're 100% guaranteed to not enjoy any of those benefits. If you don't take the chance, you're 100% guaranteeing yourself that you will not enjoy those benefits of the potential of entrepreneurship, the potential of successful real estate investing or being an agent. Okay, on the other side of it, if you do take the chance, the worst case scenario, which isn't even a likely scenario, okay, it's not even a likely scenario, it's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario isn't that bad. So for me, I look at that and I'm going, oh my gosh. So I can either look at this and go, I'm 100% guaranteed to not have any of these amazing benefits if I don't take this chance that could completely change my life. And I know for a fact that it can happen because other people like me before have done it. It just means that I need to figure out how to make it happen. But I guarantee I can make it happen because other people like me have happened. That eliminates my limiting belief around, can this happen? It can happen. Other people have done it. Okay, can you use Carrot to Crush It? 1,000%, because a bunch of other people just like you have done the same thing. Okay, so anything that makes you think otherwise is all a limiting belief in your head. It's not reality. Okay, so flip that risk profile. Are you going to take the bet that you're going to 100% guarantee you're never going to have that benefit of that life, that lifestyle, that income that entrepreneurship could get you, but you might, if you take the chance, you might have a worst case scenario. Is that the route you want to take? Or for me, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to take the bet that I can actually make this happen. And I'm going to take the bet that you know what? I'm going to take this chance. I'm going to take this risk. And if the worst case scenario happens, man, that sucks, but it wasn't as bad. And I'm so glad. And I'll be glad as heck that I took this chance. All right. So I got a jet and pulling into the dentist's office right now. Love you guys. Have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. Wish me luck on this root canal. All right. See ya.